Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. You're with the Black Lives Matter show here, broadcasting out of, you know it, Mississippi, Fresno. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show, we're going to be having a special interview today. For those of you who know me, I usually don't do a show on the weekends, but we were supposed to do the show yesterday, but I had some complications I had to deal with, and so my guest said that she would come on today. So I'm just excited. I know this sister's gonna be throwing it down. I usually don't, just a rule of thumb, I usually don't invite people on my show unless I meet with them face to face, talk to them. You know, they could come on my show saying anything, talking crazy and all kind of stuff. But it was something about this sister that really touched me. I can read people really good. You know, those of you who know me, I've been doing civil rights work for the past 35 years here locally and across the country. So it's really nothing new under the sun with me. But like I said, just a rule of thumb, I usually don't have people come on our show unless I know them or see them, put a name with a face. But this sister here was, you know, just speaking with her. She reached out to me a couple of times, and I had to apologize to her for not getting back to her in enough adequate time. But those of you know me, I'm just busy, busy, busy. But when I did contact her, we had a real good conversation as if we met before, which we never have met. But it was just her spirit. It was just her spirit that really touched me and moved me. The things she was saying, coming from the heart, coming from a very, very strategic organizing philosophy, theology. And so I just say, you know, I got to bring her on the show. I called one of my co-hosts tonight, Miss Allen Reed, who has a show on Thursday nights called West Brother Democratic Club, and told her that we'll be on. And she said she was going to tune in. And so, you know, I really enjoy watching the young people, especially African-American people, boys, men and women, because we don't have, that's something that we're lacking here in Fresno, is African-American organizers, those who organize the community, those who speak truth to power like I do. And whatever your niche is, do it. You know, stop trying to get confirmation from other people should you do something or not. You know, if you feel it's right in your heart, do it. You know, and so I think our sister that's coming on tonight is someone who hopefully one day I get to meet her. But, you know, I talk to people all over the world I've never met, but she happens to be living in Fresno. And, you know, we have rotating pictures that's up on our show right now. You can check out the different pictures that's on there. And just look at her smile. There's something about her smile that is just really, really genuine. And I can really, really respect. And she's going to be having an event over at City College. I believe it's on Tuesday, if I'm correct. They asked me to come. And I'm like, you asking a troublemaker to come? But those of you who know me, you know, I'm for the people. I'm down with the people. But before we get to her, you know, we was playing that song called Ain't Nobody Stopping Us Now. That's one of the Fresno Freedom School, one of our songs that we played during our Harvest Fest. You know, I just want to give a shout out to all of our Freedom School students who showed up today to do the maintenance at their farm. You guys are remarkable. I am so, so proud of you. I mean, you know, these young people have planted over 100 watermelons, 100 cantaloupe. They planted over, 80 tomato plants, peppers, Fresno chili peppers. What else are they planting? They plant so much stuff, it's hard for me to remember. Black-eyed peas, white corn, yellow corn, sweet potatoes, pumpkins, I say watermelons, I did. Trying to remember what else we have out there. Eggplants. We also have eggplants. These young people here has put, right now, since the rain stopped in April about a month ago, we've put over close to 100 hours into the farm. And so we should be having our harvest right there end of June. And so I just want to give a shout out to all of them and the parents and also our staff. Maria Ellis, who is our secretary, builds our curriculum. Roger Brown, Aline Reed, who is our board chairwoman, and Tuck Moses, and Gary Hahn, and Ivanka. And so all of these are the engines of the Fresno Freedom School. And I did post some pictures on my Facebook wall, so please go check it out. Sends a thumb up to our children. We have my son, who's getting ready to go to college this year, hopefully Louisiana University. And so this is what we're all about, educating our children, making sure that they take ownership of their lives. And that's what we're about. And so just want to give a shout out to all of them. Shout out to I was told they had a soul food fest or something today at the Hinton Center, and hopefully that went well. Everybody was eating. We were over there planting. And motorcycle riders are here in town. Just want to say, give a shout out to them. Be safe out there. It's Fresno PD all over the place giving out tickets. So you guys be safe out there. Have fun in our city. And welcome to Fresno. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into the show here. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up and give a round of applause to our sister, who I'm just waiting to hear what she has to say. She says she's nervous, but I don't know about that. I think once she get on here, she's just going to just let it flow. It's Saturday evening. You know, what is this, May 4th, 2019? You know, just sit back, you know, grab something to drink cold, you know, and we're going to get through this show tonight. And so we're going to go ahead and bring our sister on. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're going to let our sister introduce herself. She's going to come her own way. We have a format that we're going to go ahead out of respect and do this evening to let her get through her show. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you, my sister?
I'm still nervous, but you know, I'm making it through.
Why are you nervous?
This is my first ever radio interview. So I know what to expect. Just want to execute it properly.
Well, you know, I have to pass the baton to someone, so maybe you're the one I'm going to be passing the baton to.
Hey, I will be a great candidate. I will go far.
Now, it's big shoes to fill now. I speak truth to power now.
You're right. Only God knows, you know. I know I will be doing great things in the community and, you know, hopefully worldwide, but, you know. That's in due time.
Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you. I know you had a format that you wanted to go by tonight, and we're going to respect that. Tell us who you are. Introduce yourself the way you want to come. We have people right now that's listening, live stream all over the world. Some of the folks may want to type their messages in. Please call into 619-924-0872, 619-924-0872. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show.
So, my name is Alexandria Bean, but also go by Black Leo Goddess. So, this is my handle, BLAQ_L30_ Goddess, G-O-D-D, 2 3s, and the S. And the little, I guess, history behind why it's 3 3s in my name, the 3 is the number of the humanitarian. And I know out of my heart I am a humanitarian. I know that the work I put into my community, that, you know, one day I hope to give that love to the world.
Okay. All right. We're just cutting up the mics here a little bit so that our audience can hear you.
Okay.
Loudly.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I don't know if you have your computer on. I'm getting a little feedback echo. So you may have to cut
yeah,
your
I think
computer
it was
off.
Computer.
Yes, it's an echo on here.
Okay. Hello?
All right. Okay, that's a little better there. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, all right. So first on the list, how did you hear about me first? How did you hear about Dr.
So,
Harris?
Well, the original reason why I reached out to you, we had a event called What's Good Fresno. It actually happened last week on May 2nd. And it was actually Thursday. And it was just, we wanted you to actually come as a panelist. We wanted someone to actually do the work in our community. A little history behind what the event actually was. We just wanted to give the community a chance to actually know the true history of what Fresno, how Fresno came to be, and just certain things, certain topics, I mean, certain things that actually happened in Fresno. My topic was infant mortality and criminal justice bias. We also talked about segregation and immigration, and we also gave just the history behind how Fresno got its name and all, like a long list of just a detailed history of how we came to be.
Wow. So you know Professor Kayende.
Yes, that's my Baba.
Yeah, you know, I'm the only person that has not taken his class. I get private class, you know, when we go out and have coffee and stuff. So everybody's taking his class,
wow.
But me and Fresno.
I was his A student.
All right. Well, he's a teacher at Fresno Freedom School. He teaches Black Studies. We hang out a lot together. We go out at least once a month, sit down and chop it up. But so what do you want to do first? Want to do your poet first, or what do you want to do? Or listen, we're getting more and more people on the live stream here that's tuning in. What do you want to
do? I'll do a poem first.
All right, okay. So we're going to do your poem, and then what we're going to do after that?
We can take some callers.
Okay, all right. If we have callers who want to call in, I'm at 619-924-0872. 619-924-0872. All right, go ahead and let's roll with it.
Okay, so this poem I wrote myself. It's called Letter to the Unborn King. Hello, baby boy. This is your mother speaking. Even though you aren't in my womb yet, I want you to know that you are loved. I'm writing this letter not only as a warning, but to tell you about this thing we call life. You won't always have it easy for a black melanated king. You'll be seen as a threat to society at all ages. Mommy will always see you as her baby. In this society we call America, and anywhere else we might go might not be acceptable to our beautiful chocolate skin. Don't you worry, because you're beautiful in the eyes of God, your mother, and your father. We will fight so that you will never have the thought that your skin is a curse. I won't allow for you to grow up not knowing your history. You won't be able to do all the things that every other child may do. I want to tell you a little story. It was once a young boy by the name of Tamir Rice. He was a melanated king just like you. He was killed by a bullet of an officer. Only a few seconds after announcing himself to this young king, neither him or his partner went to jail. Tamir was only 12 years old. He was playing in the park with a toy gun. He did nothing wrong, but he was snatched away from this world at the mere age of 12 years old. Baby, I don't say this to scare you, but I say this to warn you. When I see you, I see my child that I love, and I want you to know the truth of this life you'll be living. You will have hardships within this life. You have your own struggles within this life. Nobody understands the hardships of being a black man in this world and society. People automatically have an idea of who you are. They will scratch the surface and make their opinions off of that. I come to tell you that your bloodline comes from kings and queens. You're a descendant of Mother Africa. This world will teach you lies to corrupt your thoughts. Your mother and father will always tell you the truth. We vow to tell you the truth of your identity and any other questions you might have. Before I end this letter, I want you to know that everything has been said is all public knowledge. I don't want to see the same thing happen to you. I know that your mother and father are leaders, and you'll be one also. You are loved beyond anything, and just know that society will try their hardest to break down the thought that your existence doesn't matter, but you were born on this earth, but you will survive on it. Sleep well, my young king. Your day of triumph is approaching. You'll bring this world joy, just as you did your parents. You are loved, and never forget where your blood comes from.
Woo! Man, that was powerful. That was powerful. I got goosebumps just listening to that. What made you write a poem like that?
Well, this poem, I woke up, I wrote it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I just woke up out of my sleep, and I just wrote it. My poetry comes to me whenever it wants to. I write the words, but I only write from what I experience, and I write from the soul. And I guess I don't know if I was dreaming about something, but it just came out of me. And that's one of my favorite poems ever. I actually recited that poem for my pageant. I won a runner-up for the Miss Black Fresno pageant this past February, and I still hold the title to this very day.
Wow, that was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, one of the things that I'm going to say here in the San Joaquin Valley that I would like to see more of, I would like to see more of our African women taking more leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
More of our African women being more in the forefront. So what I'm saying is, I think that the men, and I might get in trouble for saying this on the air, but those who know me more, my heart, is that I feel that right now we're at a boiling point in America, where the black man right now, we are, including myself, a endangered species to this country. It's so easy for us to get killed and murdered. But what we have to understand is it's the black woman who carried that black male in her stomach for 9 months to bring that baby into this world. And she did not bring that baby into world, right, to be assassinated, right? To be murdered, right, to be executed, right? So I think that right now, it's time for the black woman. It's past time for the black woman to take her rightful position, right, and take center stage in the man. We cannot be in a position of being envy and being insecure. We need to be blocking for the black woman, right, because she has the courage, right? She has the wisdom, right? She has the understanding and the compassion, right? To go out here and fight for our baby. Now, I'm not putting the man down or anything like that. I'm just saying that we're at a point right now where we need more progressive black women here in the San Joaquin Valley, like yourself, who are writing poems like this, right? To penetrate the heart, to penetrate that scary part in our bodies, black people. Okay, and so when I hear you read that, you're talking about real life issues, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the most, like, the thing about this poem that really sticks to me is the fact that, like, I know that this is, like, the things that, like, Tamir Rice, for example, like, he was just a little boy. Like, our men don't even know how valuable they are. Like, it's sad because I don't even have children, but I look at the children that just walk past me that I encounter in my everyday life, and I know that, like, I'm fighting to change the world for them because they will inherit the world that I leave, you know? And it's just, like, it's a lot of, like, another poem that I wrote. It's Bridging Broken Hood. And the first line of that poem is, it's basically, I'm basically just talking about this, how can we prepare, like, how can we fix a community that, while we're still broken in our own homes? And it's just, like, right now, we as, like, a community, our people, like, I don't want to say that we're weak. We're just wounded. And, like, we've been there for so long, we don't even know how to get up. And to know that we can't, like, we have to get up. Like, what we're facing right now, we're facing annihilation. Like, the man, like, Trump, he isn't playing with us. And we, like, we are number one targets on his hit list. Like, these, like, we're getting, like, each and every day in the news, we're getting more and more information to tell us, like, something is going on, not only in our political atmosphere, but us as a whole entire country. This, like, what this, like, we can't go back from this. There's no undoing Trump. It's going on 2 years now. And, like, look at all the things, all the treaties, all of the, he's, like, all of the things that he has broke, all the lies he's told, all the children that he separated from family. Like, I guess, like, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this. I guess we really have to really wake up and really see, like, it's time to change, you know, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, it's time to fight, you know? Like, right now, fighting is the only way that we're going to survive.
Well, we'd like to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here out of Mississippi, Fresno, California. As I changed the name of our city because of injustice and things that go on here against black and brown people. Please call in to 619-924-0872, 619-924-0872. You have any questions for our guest here tonight? She just read a nice, beautiful poem to us. One of the things I like to say I got out of your poem, not your poem, but you just made a statement, and you just said that you do not have children yourself. But you said you look at the children that walk by you each and every day, and you want a better society for them. And you are taking the time to do something about it. You're not just talking about it; you're being about it. You know, you're not just whining, and I mean, you're organizing. You're making people that's complacent, that you're getting them out their comfort zone, you know? And I think that's very important. You need to be commended for that. You know, it's not easy as a black woman to live in Fresno, okay? Because our community right now is so, so dismantled, you know? And I'm not saying that to say that we can't fix it. Because I really like what you just said. You said that black people are not, what word did you use? You said we're just broken. That's what you said. You said we're just broken. Okay. So there's still hope for us, but it's like we have to somehow, some way, figure out how do we love one another unconditionally, and not look at each other as we are the enemy. I mean, we've been enslaved over 400 years. We've been brutalized. We've been murdered. We've been lynched. Our towns was burnt down. But here today, in the 21st century, we're shooting one another. We're killing one another.
Yep.
There's so much envy. There's so much strife. There's so much jealousy. There's so much everything in the black community here in Fresno. And I'm not just beating up on Fresno, but it's all over the country. I'm saying Fresno because this is where we live. And it's like, why is
it's
it so
really a symptom of our society.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
We're only a symptom of our society. Our society tells us to hate everything about ourselves. It tells us to, you know, like, don't wear your hair too kinky or, you know, like, just hate your melanin. Like, the one, like, for me, I'm very chocolate. And it took me a long time to even begin to love myself. Even being a 23-year-old young woman, I'm still learning to love myself. Like, we're never taught how to do that. Like, every step of the way, we're always, even through things shown to us through TV, it's always a lighter-complected woman. It's never that chocolate woman. And that's where colorism plays a role in our society. But it's hidden. People don't really, you know, like, people don't really acknowledge it. They only acknowledge it when you point it out.
So in the 1960s, I see my cousin Bobby from Sacramento tuning in to the show. We probably have over 30, 40 people tuning in right now from all over the world.
Really?
Yeah, she was from the Black Panther era and very knowledgeable, part of Poor People's Campaign, actually the one who got me involved. She lives in Sacramento. I know her husband was very involved in the Black Panther Party, but my point is that we went from the 1960s with James Brown, you know, another brother who did a lot for the movement. You know, I'm black and I'm proud, say it loud. You know, we don't hear that today. We don't hear that today. See, words, I'm black and I'm proud, say it loud. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we don't hear enough, but we do hear, oh, well, if you're dark skinned, you're ugly. If you wear your hair and dreadlocks, you must be in a car. I mean, we cannot be ourselves. We cannot be this country. Please, we need to please ourselves first. We need to love ourselves. It's just, I don't know what it is, but I just think we're moving forward in the right direction. I think that more people are becoming more conscious about what's going on. I think we lost our caller here. I don't know what happened. See if I can get her back in. Are you
I'm right
call?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And but I just commend you because it's like you're bringing that consciousness back, you're opening up dialogue with people, you're setting a safe venue for people to talk, you know, QA answer, you know, ask questions, you know, answer. You know, you're bringing in leaders like myself, who's been on ground zero, you know, fighting the cause. You know, I tell everybody, you know, I don't read scripts. You know, if you want me to read a script, don't invite me. You know, I come from the heart. You know, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you seem like you're that type of sister who is not true. You are making a difference for the next several generations. You really need to be commended, and I hope that a lot of other young sisters at Fresno City College, you know, God has you on this journey. Creator has you on this journey. I don't know where your journey is going to end. I hope it never ends. But whatever journey, bridge he puts you on, I know you're going to be successful because you're saying the right things, you're doing the right things, you're bringing in the right people, and that's what we need today. We need an honest dialogue about what's going on in our neighborhood.
Yeah,
You're so right. You are so right. Actually, would you mind if I read another poem?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Please do.
Okay. I'm going to put you on speaker, okay? So tell me if it's an echo.
Okay.
Okay, are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did this poem for Nipsey Hussle. I wrote it a day after, well, the morning after he passed. So this one for you, Nip. Listen, wake up, my people. You living right in the midst of the revolution. They kill black activists just so that the hood can stay in turmoil. Recognize tactics when you see it. Our government killed activists like Dame Jones, Basim Mabari, Nipsey Hussle, Sandra Bland, Amber Evans, Dan Phil, DeAndre Joshua, and a lot more other martyrs of our community. If you think these tactics stopped in the 60s, you thought wrong. The pain that is flowing through us all can build us or break us. They kill our leaders in our communities so we can still be slaves to their agenda. Just understand, they kill for profit. The U.S. government strikes at our community with endless impunity. Unlock the knowledge that is at our fingertips. Do you know about social justice advocate Amber Evans? They found her body floating in the river. Do you know about Darren Fields and DeAndre Joshua? They both were found in torched cars on two different occasions. Just understand, this game ain't new. These tactics ain't new. This is a new year, but the risk is still at an all-time high. We are under attack, and if we don't mobilize together, we'll be doomed to suffer for eternity. March 31st, 2019, shots in the daylight took an honorable piece of black culture. Nipsey Hussle was and will always be a black man on the brink of greatness. He was trying to unlock the dirty secrets of the U.S. government murder of Dr. Sebi. This information that our people need to know, and they will kill anyone willing to bring it to light. A country where they kill to keep their power isn't a free country. It's a dying country. We will not be free until we unlock the knowledge that's at our fingertips. This isn't for clout. This is for survival. Our children will forever be enslaved if we don't stand up and fight now. How many more of our activists or how many more of us have to die for a cause before our people come from the shadows and fight behind the people that's fighting for our communities? This pain will stick with us for times to come. But listen, wake up. We need to take the foot of our oppressors off our throats and put a knife to theirs. Listen, wake up, my people. Our government has waged war against us, and we are caught dead in the middle of it. If you know better, you will do better. It's our time. I'm going to repeat that. It's our time. Rise up, my melanated people. It's our time to reclaim my throne.
Standing ovation once again. Standing ovation once again. Wow, those are some powerful words you just said, my sister. Take the iron foot off our neck. Wow. I really don't know if people really understand the poems. I really don't. I think we're in a time zone where we just want to feel good. You know, we just want to, you know, like you go to church and you hear a good, the choir sing, you get goosebumps, mm-hmm. You hear a good sermon, your water start, and all that's good. You know, I mean, that's needed if that's what's needed for you to have self, self-examination of what you're going through and what you need to change in your life. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. You know, you have to keep beating the pavement. You have to get involved in your community. You can't sell out. We have too many sellout Negroes in Fresno and across the country that are informants for the government, telling on those who that's trying to really, really, really make a difference in our community. You know, mm-hmm. I told someone that they don't want poverty to leave Fresno. I mean, Fresno is number two in the nation for poverty. We used to be number one. We're number two in the nation for poverty. Do you see people out in the street parking and say, hey, how are you number two? But we send a bread back to the United States of America that makes over $60 billion a year in ag. But yet, we're second in the nation in poverty. See, those statistics are bothering to me. You know? And we turn around, we see Fresno is number 10 in the country out of 20 cities of poverty. This Fresno is number 10 for the worst city for black people to live in. Number 10. You don't hear the mayor saying anything about it. You don't hear the city council saying anything about it. You don't hear the board of supervisors. You know what that's saying, my sister? That's saying that we do and you can die of what you want to do. Because if we care, yeah. We'll be having a conversation saying what can we do to help to change those statistics of this city? Because we care about our African American community just as well as the white. Latino, but nobody's having that conversation. Nobody. You don't hear pastors having the conversation.
It's all built within the history of Fresno.
I'm sorry?
It's all built within the history of Fresno.
Exactly.
See, Fresno, right, that's something that was actually touched on at the event, how the railroad was put down, and that's the line. Once you're over those tracks, you basically you're in a different area code, you know. People get treated better, and all the people, I'm just putting how it is, all the people of color are put on the west side, you know. And it's just like Fresno allocates so much money to all these different building projects, but they want to put it in places where they think it's desirable. Like, for me, I work closely on the West Side, and I love the West Side. I want to see the West Side do better because I don't want to see trash in my street. You know, those are where the kids have to walk past that every single day. And it's just like, we've had grants going back a few years that we're supposed to clean the West Side, and nothing happened. And I'm like, when will Fresno really get it? Like, you can't live in that time bubble no more, you know? You, like, at some point where we're going to have to just break out of that idea that everything has to stay the same, because we're going to die in poverty. Like, we didn't start that way. We had Black Wall Street. We had our own businesses. The moment that we stopped putting money in our own people's pockets, buying black, strictly black,
right.
making sure that our money circulates, that's the moment that we lost value. It's all, in America, this is, it's a money game. Money talk.
Right.
Money
right.
really do talk. And
right.
that's the only way that we could actually make some accountability happen.
Right.
Our money goes a long way.
Right.
It's so sad how fast the black dollars quickly circulated out of our community. It's a dang shame. We can
right.
do better. We spend money on Jordan, spend money on all these designers, but they ain't putting money in our children's pockets. We
right.
can do better. We can really do better.
Wow.
This conversation really gets me, really passionate, because I really want to see my people do better, and I want them to really acknowledge like all of those bad ideals that was buried into us for generations, and just tell them that it was a lie. Like, they didn't fit, like, the first main lie that was told, that they stole slaves from Africa. They stole able bodies. They stole people that already knew how to do the work. They stole scientists. They stole doctors. They stole, they stole our history. They stole every single thing about us. And then told us that it wasn't even ours to begin with. That's the crazy part about it. And even to this day, we still lost. We still believe in that lie. Like, we built America. Like, the moment that you realize that and put that, like, really realize that, like, the slave, it was built off the back of our blood, sweat, and tears that built this. We built the White House, but now it's a racist, it's a racist white man sitting in that seat.
Well, that okay. Well, I'm trying to find something while you're talking, because I think we're hitting on something that's good. When I say good, I mean good for those who are listening right now, because many people don't even know about Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 1921. And so I'm glad you have brought that up. And I'm trying to find a certain piece here. But you're right. You know, our money as Black people is our power, right? And mm-hmm. we don't get that. And that's one reason why Fresno is in the condition that, okay, case in point. Let's do a quick study real quick. Okay, so Fresno right now that I know of, and if I'm wrong, I like for someone to call in and tell me that I'm wrong, and I'll apologize, and you know I can stand to be corrected. and I can't find what I'm looking for, but we the Black people, I'm talking about Black people from North Fresno to Southeast Fresno, all the way to West Fresno. The Central Fresno Tower District, we do not even have a Black tire shop. Much as we love to drive cars, we don't even have a Black tire shop in Fresno. As a business, as a small business, to help our people. Why is it so hard for us to come together and say, hey, you know, let's do for ourselves or be a state, right? Let's do for ourselves. So let's start a tire business to provide service to our people. All right, so you talked about money recycling back to the community, but we have to have businesses in order for that to happen. I mean, the Asian community right now, they buying shopping centers. They're buying gas stations. What do we have? A bunch of churches in the neighborhood that's really ineffective. Right? Just really, really ineffective community. We have stores everywhere. I mean, just right there in West Fresno, we have a store, been there for many years, selling liquor right across the street from Franklin Head Start. Right, but I mean, I don't get it. I guess I'm about to do some more praying, I guess, because I'm trying, I mean, but there's people doing some good, positive things in Fresno. So I don't want people to think that Black people are not, no, there, I mean, they sold whoever it was called the day with Adrian Harris at the Hinton Center or whatever. You know, we got the motorcycle riders here tonight. But when I look at the motorcycle, okay, when I look at the motorcycle riders come to Fresno twice a year, They bring all these beautiful bikes. Where do they stay at night? You know where they stay at? They stay at hotels. Right. Do you know who owns the hotels? Not no black people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go get gas. Who owns the gas station? Not black people. So it's just what you said, my sister. Our money is our power, but we're not investing in us.
Yeah. You're so right.
I don't get it. I mean, Black Wall Street had all of these businesses, you know, grocery stores, taxi cabs, banks. They had their own pharmacies. They had their own doctor's office. They had their own railroad lines. They had their own airplanes. They had their own everything. And it was all burnt down by the racist U.S. government and the Ku Klux Klan. Just bombed it from the air.
And it's sad to even, like, even in history books to this very day, they call it a race riot. But in reality, we wasn't fighting nobody. We was getting attacked. That's the crazy thing about America's history. They never want to own up to anything that they do. And it's sad because, we're not violent. Well, everybody's violent. But the thing is, you have never seen us go to anybody else's community and try and take anything of theirs, you know? We've never tried to, like, we never committed genocide against anybody. And, like, for me, I'm African American Studies major. And it's very, like, I love to research about just, like, the history of America and how things came to be. And, like, from the first time that Europeans landed on this land, they committed genocide against the natives. They stole land. They made sure that they came first in this society, you know, even to this very day. And it's crazy that it's built within, like, it's kind of subconsciously built within us to put them first in our own way. Like, I'm going to say, for example, just to clarify, like, white lies are always said as to be something small. But if you were ever to get blacklisted, then that's the worst thing to ever happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It makes sense?
Yeah. Hold on one second. Someone, go ahead, keep talking. Someone is at the door. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I'm gonna do another poem, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I had someone knocking at the door. We have time is it? 8:50. Okay. We have about 5 more minutes, and I want to respond to what you were saying, but go ahead with your other poll.
Okay, perfect. I am going to do Bridging Our Broken Head. Trying to rebuild our broken hood while still broken in our home. Our families in discord, mistrust running through us all. Wake up. Do you know the blood flowing through your veins is royalty? Our communities are falling apart. Don't accept the scrap that this world gives us. Only you can liberate yourself. Liberate yourself by educating yourself and the people around you. But most importantly, love yourself. Nobody ever taught us how to love ourselves or how to become entrepreneurs or how to build our own businesses. Look back into our past and you will see our future. We as people are so used to chasing the latest trend that we never stop to even realize that we are brainwashed. As long as we chase the clout, our mental will forever be slaves. Rebuilding the hood, rebuilding the bonds that were severed from slavery. Wake up, my people, and know that our community is under siege. Our community is dying from the inside out. Don't underestimate our current situation. Kings and queens, reclaim your thrones. Educate yourselves. Educate your children on our true history. We are beyond mystical. When we rebuild the bonds, we will begin to rebuild the hood. Liberate yourself. It is our time. Now don't waste it. This country don't build people that will challenge the system. They only build robots. Reclaiming the hood, reclaiming our identity. Fight so that our children don't have to suffer from a system that has only abused us. Bridge our past with our present so that our future is brighter than our current day.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I know you have an event coming up next week. Can you give us a quick 2 or 3 minutes of that? We're at the end of our show. Like to thank you for our show tonight. You have really educated and motivated us. I hear an echo. Do you have your computer
on? Oh, I have
you
on speaker. I'll take it.
Okay, thank you. It was just a bad echo. So can you give us about your event? I think you talked about a little bit about what it is and what it was going to be, who you're inviting, what
that
time.
That event happened last on Friday.
Which one?
The event happened on Friday, but I can give you a recap.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so it was 33 Collective, What's Good Fresno. So it all started with the class that I'm taking. It's called it's community involvement. So we began to read the Atlantic articles on Fresno, and the articles really consisted of like segregation, criminal justice bias. One of the articles was the by pregnancy. Depending on which zip code, depends on how long you will the baby will stay preterm birth. There we go. I'm so sorry. And that actually was my topic, infant mortality. And a thing that I learned about like infant mortality is like it really shocked me. About 20% of our children really don't make it past the age of one. The exact statistic was 19.9. And the fact that, like, just the racism and the mistreatment of black women in the healthcare medical system, it's a black woman needs are mostly ignored. They don't believe that they really feel all of they don't feel as if they're fully human. So they a black woman, her needs are mostly denied. And I actually learned if as a black woman or any person of color, actually any woman, if your medical provider denies you any testing or any type of denial, they have to put it in the chart to keep accountability of what they did. Serena Williams, she was, when she was giving birth, actually, she had a blood clot in her lung, and she kept on telling her medical provider about it, but they blamed it on her, the medication that she was taking for, because she just gave birth. And it's just really crazy. And another subject that I had was criminal justice bias. And it was just really, all that I learned, it was actually a lot. It was very heavy for me. And even to this very day, I don't really know, it really doesn't sit well with me. I learned about just the YA camp. And it's also called Gladiator School. And how a lot of the correctional officers, they will bet on inmates fighting. Right? That's all that a lot of the inmates will do is fight. Like, and it's sad that, like, these are school-age children. And at the event, was actually talking to one of the panelists mentioned just the fact that she would want to see away with the juvenile hall, the juvenile system, and the fact that, like, she believes that we are just, like, putting children in jail is a crime within itself. And I truly believe it, because in the end, the children, like, are only taught from what the only way a child is taught is from their elders and from people that's older than them. If our people show our children no good, then they're going to do no good. But if they show them better, and if they know better, they will do better. So that's a few of the things that we really discussed out what's good for us now. It was a great event. It was my first time ever facilitating, and it was actually a great moment for the community to come together. We had a panelist like Dallas. He did the needle exchange. And we had David Alvarez. He is from a native tribe. And we had another two women panelists. They're actually very, very good. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful event. And we're looking to actually bring it back soon.
Well, I missed out on a good treat, but all the people you mentioned are people, Brother Dallas and all of them, that Brother David Alvarez, are people who I network with and work with in the community. And so I know that I know them personally, so I know they did a wonderful job representing the community, the whole. But we're at the end of our time now. And I hope this is not the last time you're going to come on our show. I can listen to your poems to go to sleep and wake up listening to them. That's how powerful they are. And hopefully you publish one day so that the world can enjoy your readings and contribution to society. And we want to thank all of your support who tuned in tonight, sharing your show tonight. We're honored to host you tonight. We're going to schedule you to come back on again. I'm going to try to get you to come over to my place.
Definitely.
Maybe read some poetry before I preach. And so we could tag team it there. And we'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in today. Is there a number if someone wanted to contact you? How can they reach you?
My personal email is alexandriabenn01@gmail.com. And you can also hit me on Instagram at Black Leo Goddess, BLAQ_LEO L3O_Goddess, GODD23NS.
All right. Well, there you have it. You have our sister here. We're going to end our show tonight. We just want to thank her one more time for tuning in. I believe we're going to go out with Marvin Gaye tonight. And we just want to keep it real. What's going on? You know, what is going on in our community? What is going on in our communities?
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you that you know you're mine. To bring some love here today. Some love. think it's nice to punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Thank you.